Today, B'siyat HaShemai, we're going to start a short series on Brichas Kohanim. The introduction goes as follows. At the end of Perek Vav in Sefer Bamidbar, Parshas Naso, by Daber Hashem Moshe Lemor, Daber al Aaron ve'albonav Lemor, Kosu Varuch Hu's Bnei Yisrael, Amor Lohem. Hashem says to Moshe, tell Aaron and his sons, the Kohanim, so shall you bless Klal Yisrael, Amor Lohem, speak to them. So we're going to analyze a little bit the halachos that are derived from that phrase, Amor Lahem, speak to them. Ostensibly, that's already been covered earlier in the pasuk. Yivrach Hashem v'yishmerecha, Yor Hashem ponav eilech v'yichonecha, Yisra Hashem ponav eilech v'yaseim l'cha shalom. Translated as follows in the art scroll. May Hashem bless you and safeguard you. May Hashem illuminate his countenance for you and be gracious to you. May Hashem lift his countenance to you and establish peace for you. And then the pasuk concludes, V'samu eshemi al b'nei Yisrael v'anei avarchem. Let them place my name upon the children of Yisrael, and I will bless them. So it recalls a story. Brisk Rav used to have a small minyan in his home every morning where he would daven. And at the end of his life, Brisk Rav lived in Yerushalayim. He left Lithuania in 1941. And then he came to Yerushalayim where he spent the last 18, 19, 20 years of his life or so. So he had this minyan in his house. And one day, the Kohen wasn't there for davening. And they were waiting for him. They were delaying, continuing the tefillah, Chazar Sashat, until Kohen would show up so he could give the bracha. And there were a couple people there who were getting a little impatient because they wanted to go weiter. And they said, you know, so we'll skip duchening if the Kohen didn't show up today. No, we'll get it tomorrow. And he said, it's so silly. People, mamash, they travel around the country, they travel around the world to get a bracha from this Rebbe, from that Rebbe, from this tzaddik, that tzaddik. It says in the Torah, even though we call it Birchas Kohanim, the Kohanim, when they give this bracha, are really, they're creating the channel by which HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, by them placing the name of Hashem on the people, Ani Avarchem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself says, I will bless Klal Yisrael. So why should we pass it up? If we're able to go to so much effort to get brachas from human beings, why wouldn't we put in a little time in order to be zochet to a bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself? Okay, number one. Sefer Charedim is quoted right at the beginning of Mishnah Berurah in Kuf Chav Ches, where the laws of Birchas Kohanim are found, the first series of halachas in Chelek Beis Mishnah Berurah. So Sefer Charedim writes that even non-Kohanim are included in the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim. And just like it's obvious that the Kohanim have an obligation to bless the people, there's a Chelek of a mitzvah that is relevant to the Yisraelim as well, to be the recipients of the bracha. So therefore, a person should make an effort participate in a minyan and receive Brichas Kohanim whenever that's shayach, when he finds himself in Eretz Yisrael, as far as the Ashkenazim are concerned. Many Sephardic communities have the practice of duchening even in Chutz Arts, and it would seem that a person who has that opportunity should avail himself of that and daven with his Sephardic minyan whenever possible in order to be included in this status of being a Mizbarech of the Nesias Kapayim that the Sefer Charedim mentions. Number two. In theory, the mitzvah of Brichas Kohanim really applies every single day, whether you're in Eretz Yisrael or you're in Chutz Laretz. It shouldn't really make a difference. that's operative when, as we can now teach the pasuk we quoted before, Amor Lahem, say to them, meaning when the Kohanim are invited, so to speak, to give the bracha, that's when the mitzvah applies. Therefore, that's actually how Unklus learns it in the pasuk. It's quoted by Tosfos Menachos. This is the reason why when we have Kohanim in the shul, Birchas Kohanim is initiated by the Kohen saying Kohanim, because that gives them the invitation to give the bracha and to proceed with their own bracha. Asher kishavim zavazivano b'kedushaso shel Aaron. So there has to be an invitation. Also should be noted that the mitzvah d'oraisa of Birchas Kohanim is only when there's two or more Kohanim present. When there's only one Kohen in the shul, so it's a mitzvah d'rabanan, but it's not a mitzvah d'oraisa. So it's always good when you have two Kohanim or more in the shul. Number three, even so, as we mentioned, Ashkenazim have the custom to do Brichas Kohanim only on Yom Tovim at Musaf. The reason for that, it's a little bit of a mystery why we don't have a minhag to do duchening every day in Chutz La'aretz. But nevertheless, Yontif, the Rama says, the people in Chutz La'aretz are always preoccupied and never reach a true level of simcha that's required to give a bracha. Yontif is an especially happy time. That's why we wait till Musaf to duchen in Chutz La'aretz on Yontif, because we have one foot out the door on our way to have our Yontif Suda, so the level of Simcha is increased yet again. But that's Dafka Musaf. The exception to that, of course, is we do it on Shachar, Simchas Torah, because Chas V'Shalom, a person accidentally maybe has something to drink, before Musaf, so that would disqualify them for Birchas Kohanim. But otherwise, we do it at Musaf. On a fast day in Eretz Yisrael, we'll do it at Mincha as well, because there's no chance anyone had anything to drink in the afternoon, even though they might otherwise, Chas v'Shalom, have done so, but because of the fast day, so they didn't have anything, and therefore Mincha, you'd be able to duchen as well. So that's as far as the basis for the Ashkenazi practice. Again, it is somewhat questionable, and throughout the generations, there have been great people who tried to reinstate the practice, even amongst Ashkenazim, to duchen every day in Chutz La'aretz, among them the Vilna Gaon, and his Talmud, Reb Chaim V'Lezhner, and each time that they tried to do it, something very unusual happened. The Vilna Gaon said, tomorrow we're going to start it, and then, mysteriously, he was put in jail. Another time, Reb Chaim V'Lezhner tried to start in his shul, and that night, the shul burned down. So we're not sure exactly what the pshat is, some sort of siman min hashamayim, unclear. But at some point it was accepted that we're just not going to try it in Chutz La'aretz, and we'll try to get Teres Tishrom, Mir Tashem, and Bizocha to have the bracha there. The Shlo brings down a concept. This is a chumrah. I'm not sure how widespread people are even aware of this, but the Shlo does bring down that he had a kohen in Eretz Yisrael, even when he was living outside of Eretz Yisrael. He had a kohen in Eretz Yisrael, who he appointed, maybe even gave him some money for his time, to have him in mind when he duchens in Eretz Yisrael, to keep in mind even though he was in Chutz La'aretz as well. But again, that's not common practice. Number four, hands of Kohanim are washed by a Levi. What do you do if there's no Levi in Shul? A Bechor can wash it, correct? Water should cover the entire hand until the wrist. So if he has a watch on, he should remove it. That's true really for any time you do Netilas Yadayim. Make sure you pull up your watch beyond your wrist so that the wrist is included in the washing. If a Kohen did Netilas Yadayim, as he does every morning, so when he gets to Shul, assuming that he hasn't touched anything in the interim, so he was in theory already covered by his Netilas Yadayim that morning. That's the reason why we generally don't make a bracha, right? When the Levi washes the hands of the Kohen, he doesn't make a bracha because the hand of the Kohen is hopefully still clean from when he did Netilas Yadayim that morning, okay? But if he did touch something in the interim, it's questionable if a bracha is recited, and therefore the Mishnah Berurah says, even in that case, no bracha is recited when the Kohen's hands are washed. Number five. At the time that the Shliach Tzibur says Ritzei, the Kohen is supposed to at least take one step, moving towards the front of the shul, to initiate his path towards Duchening. Mishnah Berurah writes, it's Darshan from a pasuk, V'yisa Aaron es yadav el ha'am v'yivarchein v'achakach v'yed mi'asos achatas, mashmash she'birech kodem she'nestalak mi'avodah. We find that Aaron HaKohen, in the Pesukim, at the culmination of the dedication of the Mishkan, the bracha of Aaron HaKohen came in conjunction with Avoda. So therefore, we go out of our way to ensure that the Kohen begins a process of duchening during the bracha of Ritzei, which is known as the bracha of Avoda. Avoda. Because Baruch Hu should bring back the Avoda to Yerushalayim. Parenthetically, that same idea is reflected in the following. Rav Shaftu quotes Nefesh HaRav from Rav Soloveitchik to explain why it is that we have the bracha of Shema Kaleinu and then Ritzei right afterward. They both have similar themes about our tefillos being accepted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why do you need two brachos one after another? Seem to have the same purpose. So the Rav explained, Shema Kolenu is a bracha that Hashem, a tefillah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should accept our tefillos as tefillos. Ritzei is a bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should accept our tefillos as avoda, as karbonos, the other function of our prayers. Again, reflecting this notion of Ritzei being corresponding to avoda. And number six, we explained how that connects. I'm sorry, number five, how that connects to the duchening. Number six, whenever possible, Kohen should be stationed on a duchen, some sort of elevated platform or raised surface. Sometimes, at the Kotel, the only thing they have is like these little mats, little carpets that they stand on. And that's because in the Beis Hamikdash, the Kohanim would stand on a raised surface as well when they gave the bracha. As the Kohanim turn from the Aron Kodesh to face the Tzibur, when they're standing on that duchen, they should turn to the right, which is basically clockwise. That's based on a gemara in Yuma, which really says kol pnil sha'atapona. Every time a person is turning in a specific direction, they should try to turn when possible to the right side. Right, just like when they got to the top of the ramp of the mizbeach, they would move around. They would start by moving to their right and continue around that side of the mizbeach until they got to the other side and went down the ramp. You find that many applications, even when I'm going, I'm bringing the Sefer Torah back to the Aron Kodesh. You're supposed to walk around the right side of the Bima on the way back to returning Sefer Torah. It's also brought down in Friday night, L'chadodi, when you get up to Bowie B'Shalom, right, and you turn to the door in the back of the shul, so you should move clockwise to the right, in the same way the Kohanim, when they finish the bracha, they should continue following that clockwise fashion to face the Aron when they're done. Number seven, Berachas Kohanim has to be recited out loud. When we said before, Amor Lahem, say to them, speak to them, so Chazal Darshan Kederach Adam Omer L'Chaveru. It has to be as if Berachas Kohanim is a conversation with the people you are speaking to, or that you are blessing, and therefore it is it's necessary for the Kohen, even if it's a big shul, to say it so loudly that the entire tzibur will hear it. So the conversation is only meaningful if the person is listening. Here's what I'm saying. So you should project his voice. Rabbi Yitzhak Kohen is famous for his Berachas Kohanim. You can hear it all the way in the back of the room. That's a din b'kol ram, Chazal say. B'kol ram, it has to be said. Likewise, part number eight, part of speaking Amor Lahem to the tzibur is that it's supposed to be punim keneged punim. And therefore, it's not correct what many people do, either to turn around, they're trying not to look at the Kohanim. So they turn around, or even if you have your head down, it's also not proper. The best thing to do is to have your eyes and your face directed in the same direction that the Kohanim are facing you. That's punim keneged punim. And finally, number 10, if a person finds himself in a part of the shul, let's say on the eastern wall, ahead of the Kohanim, or once the Kohanim turn around, they're behind the Kohanim, then the correct thing to do is to come back towards the front of the shul, the center of the shul, so that you will be, as it were, lined up with the Kohanim when they are giving the bracha to fulfill this din of panim keneged panim, amor lahem kederach ben adam omer l'chaveru.